You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, we believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, and we ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would indeed give us that life, that you would refresh our souls, that you would remind us of the love that you have for us in him, that we would set our minds and hearts on you alone. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you turn in your bulletin to the Romans reading? That John Gospel is great, but it's too much for me to handle right now. So turn back to the Romans reading and so you can follow along with me. For God alone is our final authority, and he chiefly speaks to us through his written word, which is contained in the Old and New Testament of the Bible. And I am sleep-deprived and likely to say something silly tonight, so make sure that I'm saying what is in accordance with the Scriptures. Well, the Holy Spirit is often called the forgotten God of the Trinity, coming in third place to the Father and the Son, and we can talk about that later if you want to get into the ins and outs of that and whether that is true or not. But today I hope to show you that this shouldn't be the case. For by the Spirit we have life, and the Spirit is extremely important in the Christian life. So hopefully we can see that in the passage, but let's get stuck into it now so I can show you that from the Word. So Paul opens up our passage by presenting us with two opposing positions. He says you can either have your mind set on the flesh or on the Spirit. Look at verses 6 through 8 with me. He says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I wonder if you notice that there's no in-between here. There's no fence sitting. You can't have your cake and eat it too, because the mind that is set on the flesh is deadly. It's not just a little bit bad. Oh, I'll just have a little bit of that. It'll be all right. It's much worse than a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. It's much worse than that. What we're talking about is poison. We need to call poison control. When your mind is set on the flesh, you need to call 911 because you're in mortal danger. In verse 7, Paul says that the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law. In fact, it is unable to. In verse 8, those who have their mind set on the flesh, which he now describes as those who are in the flesh, a being, a state of being, they cannot please God. Now, when he says flesh, what is he talking about? He's talking about our natural inclinations. We are in the flesh when we are left to our own devices, focusing on the things of this world and fulfilling our own desires rather than God's. See, the problem with our flesh is that because of sin, our desires, the things that we want, have become distorted. Without the Spirit of God within us, we only ever want what is opposed to God. But more accurately, we only ever want to be God. We want to be in his place. We want control. And not only is this foolishness, you currently do not want Michael Weeks to be in control of anything right now. It's not going to go well for you. But it's also deadly. It leads us away from the source of life and light, who is God, our maker and sustainer. So on the other hand, while the mindset on the flesh is deadly, the mindset on the Spirit is life-giving. Those with their mindset on the Spirit are led to life and peace, Paul says. No longer hostile to God, but they now have peace with God, brought into a renewed relationship where those who have the Spirit belong to God. So I wonder this evening, where is your mindset on? Are you focused on the things of this world as we gather around God's Word? Or are you focused on the things of God? It's easy to say that you're focused on the things of God when you're in church. But, you know, when you are walking in, or as you're listening to me, that's probably easier to wander off as you're listening to me. Well, how can you know that your mind is set on the flesh or on the Spirit? Well, the best way to find out is to look at the fruit, or to check the destination of where your mind is leading you. Are you being led to disobey God? Are you being led to the things that are opposed to God? Or by the Spirit, are you being led to relationship with God, into deeper and deeper communion with Him? Are you being led to Jesus, to His love for you in His death and resurrection? The Holy Spirit will not lead you to do things that are opposed to God and His law. He will only ever lead you into closer relationship with God. To have your mind set on the Spirit is not some super spiritual experience where you're being told to give up everything and go and move to Africa. It's being led to God. It's being closer to Him. It's being led to repentance and faith, where we turn away from the flesh and turn to God in trust of Him, that you might love Him above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, after setting out these two opposing positions, Paul continues in verse 9 with a reminder of who we are in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9 again with me. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Paul reminds the Romans and you and I the good news that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Even though we might continue to do fleshly things in this life, there's been a fundamental change in who we are. We're not characterized, we're not identified, we are not bound by our flesh. Though we remain in the flesh in this life, the flesh belongs to the old self, which has been crucified with Christ, and which you have been set free from by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in the passage, in the verses just before this one, in verses 2 through 4, he says this: For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we are brought into a union with Christ, and we receive all of His benefits. So we receive His righteousness. And that means we now belong to Him. We are transferred out of darkness and into light. We've been set free from sin and death. We are no longer under God's curse. We are no longer hostile to God, no longer slaves of sin. We are free citizens of heaven. This doesn't mean that in this life we won't sin. See, the idea that Christians can be sinless and perfect is a very dangerous idea that will only leave you crushed and feeling guilty and questioning your own salvation. But, says Paul, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells within you, then you belong to God. And this is what it means to be a Christian, to have the Spirit of the Triune God dwelling within you. And if the Spirit is in you, then you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't need to question your salvation, for you belong to Him. As we'll see in the next few verses, our future is bound up with Him, who made a perfect sacrifice for our sins, who has conquered the grave, who now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Well, how can you know if the Spirit of God dwells within you? Paul explains in another letter, which he wrote to the Corinthians, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of this world and of your life, if you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again to new life, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. And you, brothers and sisters in Christ, belong to God. Your life and your final destination are no longer characterized by death and condemnation, but you are destined for life and for peace. And you are empowered right now in this life by the Spirit to live that heavenly life today, to say no to the flesh and to say yes to God. By the power of the Spirit, you can turn away from sin and put it to death. Well, Paul concludes our passage in verses 10 and 11 with an encouragement and exhortation that is the Spirit alone who will give you life. Look at these verses again with me, verses 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, Although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. As Christians, we live in a tension of life and death, between life and death. On the one hand, our body, our flesh, is dead already. As one of my pastors put it, we are like flowers in a vase. We currently have some, when I was writing this, they were beautiful tulips sitting on our kitchen table, and this really speaks to my illustration, so that's helpful. Yellow tulips beautifully sitting on our dining room table. They look amazing. They remind us that spring has come, that we don't have to shiver in the cold anymore. But even though they look beautiful, they have been cut off from their source of life. And they're actually just perishing, aren't they? In a couple of days, and actually they're starting to look pretty bad, in a couple of days those beautiful flowers will look like they truly are. They're dead. They will wilt and they'll start to rot and they'll start to smell, and we'll put them in the trash and then they'll make the trash smell and then until I take it out. Anyway, insight into my life. And this is what it's like for us in this life. Without the Spirit of God, we are cut off from our source of life and we are dying. We might look beautiful, we might smell beautiful, we might look like we're succeeding and flourishing, but the truth is we are slowly decaying. But on the other hand, on the other side of this tension, we are given life because of the Spirit who dwells within us. And due to this amazing reality, though our bodies are dead because of sin, the Holy Spirit gives us life, empowers us to live this life, because the Spirit reconciles us back to God, the creator and source of life. So we are grafted back into our roots, able to live and flourish once again. What is this life that the Spirit gives us? Well, it's that abundant life that Jesus came to bring us, which doesn't consist of treasures on earth, but in relationship with him, in relationship with God, in right relationship with our neighbor and the whole created order. The abundant life isn't about having the nicest things or being the most successful person, being a partner at a law firm, or having the most money in the world. It's being and becoming more and more like Jesus. Being and becoming a person who worships and glorifies the one true and living God. And this abundant life we experience in part right now as the Spirit empowers us to honor and to serve God. But we also wait patiently for the future to come when we'll experience that abundant life perfectly, completely, and immensely. But if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you can stake your life on the fact that you will be in heaven with God, that you will be raised to new life to dwell with him. Not because you deserve to be there, not because you earn the right to get into heaven, but because of God's grace, who has poured out his Spirit within you and put him in your hearts through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I think it's safe to say that the Holy Spirit is a hugely significant part of the Christian life. This is not a trivial topic in theology, but a matter of life and death. So I want to end with a question. Do you have the Spirit of God within you? I ask this question not to make you feel guilty or ashamed if you don't, but because I don't want you to die. I care about you. I want you to live and live abundantly. And for some of you, the answer to that question might be no, or I don't know. If that is the case, then today is a great day to change that, to turn away from sin and to ask God for forgiveness and grace and mercy, which he freely gives to those who put their trust in Jesus. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you are already a Christian, if the Holy Spirit already dwells within you, then I want to leave you with an encouragement and an exhortation. You are not a slave to sin. You belong to God. You don't have to submit to the sin any longer. Now, this life is hard, and there are so many distractions in life that take us away from God, that distract us from God, and so many of these things are good things. At the moment, I'm completely distracted by my family and the new addition of our newborn baby girl, Rosemary. She's 3 weeks old. She's taking up all of our energy in life. But even this good thing, she's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, I complain about her all the time, but she's great. Even this good thing, this good distraction, it leads me away from God to set my mind on the flesh, to want to gratify its desires, to seek my own control, to be gluttonous, to be selfish, to be envious, all of those things. So I need to encourage myself the same way as I encourage and exhort you, to set your mind on the Spirit, that you might have life and peace. And Paul will say after our passage, "Brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh, that we must live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Praise be to God." Let me pray for us. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you so graciously pour out your Spirit upon us. Father, we ask that by your Spirit you would empower us to set our mind on you, to turn away from sin, to put the flesh to death, and to worship and glorify and serve you in all that we do. Father, this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.